So, good morning. Well, glad you could join us.
Anything better that I could be doing this morning?
So that's a good question. Brings up a good question. So what are we doing? What are we doing here? Are we doing or are we undoing? So undoing is an interesting idea because if everything is empty of any permanence, everything is always changing, what is it we're undoing? So I guess what comes to my mind is that what we're undoing is our clinging to or attachment to things being a particular way. So sometimes that is something we really want to avoid. Because why would we want to take on something that's uncomfortable? Sometimes our attachments are nothing but an avoidance, which is still an attachment, which is still trying to push something away. So whether you're grabbing something and pulling it towards you or pushing it away from you, both of those experiences are not accepting how things actually are. In different Mahayana traditions, there's different ways of approaching loving kindness or compassion. This is Zen tradition, and in the Zen tradition, everything is all at once. It's not stages, it's not adding layer upon layer, it's not a particular technique to achieve a particular thing. It's waking up to your original nature just as it is right now. And of course, compassion enters into this. What is a compassionate view of our clinging nature? What does that mean? So for me, freedom is letting go. So in freedom, compassion can be expressed. In a closed fist, compassion is not being expressed. And unfortunately, and especially in today's climate and the kind of world we live in, everybody's quick to close their fists and hold on tightly. And nothing can really be let go of and evolve into something better. So it's important individually, as in our own lives, to really take responsibility, meaning really look at what is this that I'm holding on to, participating in, and how am I doing? And that is one of the processes that happens when we're sitting. For example, for me this morning, my sit was preoccupied, my mental activity was preoccupied with a task that I needed to take care of in order to be responsible in terms of my relationship with someone. So that kept me busy in my consciousness level of my mind, just going over it and over it. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to handle this? So obviously, it was something that was important enough to me that it wasn't allowing me to just let it go. Not too long ago, I referred to our meditation practice like a chicken sitting on eggs. And when a chicken sits on eggs, they don't just sit there. They move the eggs around in order to make them hatch. They adjust, they move. And everything is always moving anyway. So you don't just sit when you're sitting on your eggs that you're going to hatch. They won't hatch if you just sit there. Some will, some won't. You have to move them around and take care of them. This, you could call that compassionate sitting, sitting like a chicken on eggs. So compassion enters in when you're not holding on tightly, in other words, and you are letting go. That's compassion. Simple. It's not too complicated. So again, though, what are we letting go of? Sometimes I feel like I need to clear up that letting go is not the same as denial. Sometimes people think meditating means not thinking, no thinking. You know, that it's a void. No, it isn't. It's everything. It's all there. Nothing is missing. Nothing to add to it. Nothing to take away. But we have a responsibility to understand our own nature, our own lives, and how we're going through it. And only by letting go, by opening the hand of thought, can we see where things really are and move through it and do what's necessary in this moment to make it better for ourselves and for others. So when we say, you know, our practice is to save all sentient beings, quite often it's referred to as, how can I help? Well, the first step in helping is always to take responsibility for what it is you're doing. That's the only way to help. That's all I have.
Things that I've heard in the past about sound and our hearing of sound or our seeing of things and how these appear to be coming at us, but they're actually at the same time happening. There's no way for it not to be happening inside. Like I see that tree over there. That's inside. Because I'm looking at that, that's inside already. I have an optical nerve. It's connected to the, and the image is, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where is it? I suppose I'm making a leap here, but let's say, you know, vow to save all 17 beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, tall order, but it's, I suppose I'm drawing a correlation between these things because obviously there isn't much that one can do outwardly, especially in the sense that whatever the actions are coming from is in some way skewed or also in addition to that, many years ago, a monk once told me, you want to save the world, save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much the same thing. Like that thing is happening inside.
Yes.
It's not so much like Peace Corps.
Yeah. 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 So the duality of inside, outside, right? That's how things appear. So what you're hinting at, I think, in saying the tree is already inside, is from the perspective of non-duality or one mind, there is no inside outside. It just is. So it's, you know, these reflections of things in the mirror of our mind, if we say they're outside, then we have this attachment to them that way. If we say they're inside, then we have an attachment to them that way. If we see them just as reflecting and impermanent or not real, in other words, in terms of something that you can hold on to, because it's this fleeting experience of energy changing. So our suffering is related to this and that, our identification with them, inside, outside, this and that, up and down. They're doing this to me. I'm not doing it, you know. This person is insulting me. It's all their fault, you know, whatever. You know, again, getting back to that, what I said about holding on so tightly and that we can't compassionately look at each other and really understand where we're coming from. How can I help? You know, is that question, how can I help? How can I be open to what it is you need in this moment from me, you know, and can I give it or not, you know? And all of those things can be solved when intuition and wisdom mind can take place rather than our what's called deluded view or the view from duality of you're sitting over here, I'm sitting over here, and I have my view, and you have your view, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's back and forth. Where compassion is letting go of these two views. And what do you see? So again, coming back to like, when I say already you see, already you hear, before you say I see, I hear. When you say I see, that comes after the fact, referring to what you say about the tree. The tree is already there before you say, I see a tree. Yeah, we complicate things. Making sense?
Yeah, I'm just curious, could you say more about the tree is already there? You mean it exists in your consciousness before you name it tree? Could you say a few words about that?
Well, really what I'm pointing at is the identification with the idea of I. When you identify with the consciousness of the tree, saying, I see the tree, that's really identifying with this idea of I, me, mine, separate from that, I'm here, that's there. That, and I'm not saying it's not separate. I'm not saying there isn't a tree there. The tree is not the problem. And the consciousness of the tree is not the problem. The problem is that we make it into something. Oh, that poor tree is losing its leaves. Oh, the roots are making the sidewalk come up. Oh, man, we're going to have to cut that tree down now. Or it's so messy in my yard. There's all these different ways I, me, and mine interfere with, and it becomes the karmic sort of continuation of suffering because the identification with I, me, and mine. When you take the consciousness, which is just simple, like I said, reflection, and make it into something, you know, when you start to analyze it, reason about it, formulate things about it, make something out of it, then you're already kind of limiting yourself, you see. Even though it might be a beautiful and fantastic story that you're creating, it's still a story, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that because stories are wonderful. We all create stories, that's our lives. Nothing wrong with that. It's, again, it's that clinging nature, holding on to it as though it's permanent, or it's something that you have to hold on to for dear life, or push away, you know, whatever you're reacting from that I, me, mind place. So that's really what I'm talking about. Anything else before we wrap things up today? Well, hope to see you again. Thanks for coming today. Have a good day.